It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Gina Trapani's back, her monthly visit. Boy, there's breaking news like crazy. A brand new Chromebook Pixel just came out. Google just got in the insurance business. We're still waiting for the Google cell phone business. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 291, recorded March 11th, 2015. Uber for metaphors. This Week in Google is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/twig and enter the promo code TWIG. And by HipChat. Collaborate, save time, be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at hipchat.com/twig. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 49 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off image subscription packages on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIG315. Time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we talk about Google, the cloud, Facebook, Twitter, media, news, anchors, whatever we want to talk about. Jeff Jarvis is here from his waterlogged office at the City University of New York. Good to see you, Jeff.
I'm in a little tiny spot here that's big enough for one chair, sitting up against a filing cabinet with my microphone here. Trying to act like, no, this is normal.
That's okay. The beauty of podcasting.
I'm on TV.
You can do it from any crappy corner. Doesn't really matter.
That's exactly where I am. You see behind me where they store the sodas for parties.
In your office?
No, out in the hall. But they had to move all of the cabinets away from the opposite walls to cut. They cut like a foot and a half in the bottom of numbers and numbers of walls around here. Jeez. To then go up and dry it out. God knows what they did.
There was a snow emergency. It snowed.
It froze.
It froze and then melted.
Hell froze.
It was frozen pipes? Is that
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who's that? Wait a minute. What? Am I dreaming?
Deja vu?
Am I dreaming? Did I lose my mind? It's Gina Trapani.
Deja Gina.
Am I back in 2014?
I know. Crazy.
Oh,
it's so
Gina, we love you. We miss you. How's
so
everything going to think
here.
Up?
Things are good. Things are good. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. We actually just launched a new insight last week. It's ThinkUp lets you know now when your friends have changed their avatar. So you get to admire high res beautiful pictures of your friends when they change up their avatar. So that's been really fun.
I asked you this before. Mm-hmm. Is this Ruby on Rails? What is it? What is the...
This is a good question, Leo. Well, you know, ThinkUp started off as an open source project. So one of our requirements was like, hey, somebody should be able to run this on the simplest, cheapest, hosting package. So it's PHP.
So it's a LAMP stack.
It's old school LAMP stack. There ain't nothing new or fancy going on here, much to my chagrin. But it's old technology that works. So
you know, it feels very modern. I guess that's the design, right?
It's the design, yeah. Right. Yeah, but the back end is just straight PHP,
Nice. Hey, you know what? It's easy to do. It's easy to maintain. I'm all about the Node.js and the.
I know you're like fancy Node
JSON
man.
And all
oh
that
yeah,
stuff.
You're all about yeah. the JSON. No, that's the right the way to do it. If I was building what you were building, you choose your technology on what you're building. That is the right choice.
I'm very proud to say though that the great team that's doing this at Four Kitchens has already contributed some of the code back to the Drupal core. Maybe it is core. But because we're using an open source CMS, Drupal, as the back end for the API, to serve the API. Actually, all the stuff we're using is still open source. Node's open source, right? They did something cool, I guess. I don't understand it. But they said, hey, yeah, we contributed it back. So that's nice.
That's awesome.
That's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
If you use an open source software to be able to contribute back to it, it's great. Anyway, Gina said when Gina
PHP,
left us.
So I don't feel so bad.
Yeah. There you go. Right. When Gina left us, she said very kindly she'd come back once a month. I mean, she's got to focus on her startup, and we understand that. But it's really nice to have you. You were on All About Android last night. And
yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's great to be here. You couldn't be completely rid of me.
Yeah.
Never.
That's why, by the way, chat room said, did Jason think I was talking about him when I said, but that's why I always say Jason.
It always throws me off.
just to make sure that you understand the distinction.
I like to think that I'm that important to the website.
We're using Jason.
Yeah.
We're using Jason to deliver our shows in more ways than one.
I've never been busier than I am right now.
There is a lot of Google news this week, but I think we're going to start with the one that Jeff Jarvis is so most excited about, which is the new, this happened minutes before the show began. The new Pixel's here. Oh, I should say, by the way, I got to explain this. And this only matters if you're watching live. We flip-flopped Windows Weekly and Twig today because of travel schedules. Jeff, you're going to Madrid.
Right, tonight. Yeah.
And then Paul was just coming back from Colorado. So it worked out great. Everybody was happy. But if you're tuning in and you're saying, where's Windows Weekly? That'll be after This Week in Google, this week only.
Yes.
Anyway, new Pixel is here. Apparently, it's been seeded to people because TechCrunch has a review. The Verge has a review.
Wall Street Journal has a review. It's up on the rundown, too. They like it.
I would have given one to Jeff Jarvis, Google. I really would.
Well, yeah. I mean, just let me review it for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I'm your only friend in Pixel land.
Is it an accident
schmuck
that this comes out like a couple of months before Google I/O? I mean, are they going to get? They're going to give everyone.
They're going to do that again?
Well, I don't know.
They don't seem to repeat themselves on the things they give out. They seem to be very different every year.
They give out a cardboard pixel.
Wondering. Yeah, right.
Cardboard pixel.
It looks exactly the same, right? I mean, it doesn't look any different from the...
Pretty much exactly the same, yeah.
But it's got newer processors. I presume these are the Broadwell
processors.
What's the
screen comparison? Does anybody know?
It's the same, I think.
Same screen.
Screen. It's 3:2 still, that weird aspect ratio. 2560 by 1700, still touch. So it's... exactly the same in those specs. The color gamut is wider. That just means it can show more colors. It's got a different color space. It is cheaper, $999 for the i5 version. And then they have an LS, which does not stand for luxury style. It stands for...
Sedan.
Or luxury sedan. It stands for, literally, Google says, ludicrous speed. It's an i7. And I can't think of any reason you'd need an i7 for a Chrome OS. But remember, these are mostly used. What do they say? Like 85% used by Googlers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously this is what Googlers wanted. They said, well, I want more speed. More tabs, too. 8 gigs on the base model of RAM, 16 gigs on the LS version. But $999 for the base model, $1,299
for the LS.
Yeah.
Video said 12 hours of battery life.
Yeah,
within 15 minutes, you get 2 hours of charge value.
Yeah,
that's C connector.
That's the biggest thing, this is the second device we've seen. Now there have been others. I think there's an Asus out there with Type C connector, but the MacBook that was announced on Tuesday was the first I'd seen with a Type C charger. This is good news. I would love to see a mass move from laptop makers to the Type C port for charging. Because then we could use one charger for everything.
And so Apple went to Type-C?
Yes.
That's really so unprecedented that they finally used a standard.
I know. It's just for the one MacBook, the new MacBook. But
yeah,
I think that's going to be the
it
future.
Shows the way.
Type-C, which is a USB 3 port, it's a standard 3, actually it's a 3.1 port, will do not only power in and out, by the way, you could charge a phone from it, but it will also do data. Great. Just like a regular USB port, and video. So that is your video port.
Oh.
So you can't charge and do video at the same time.
Well, no, Jason, go back and what's on the other side? Because I see two USB ports, actually three with the Type-C, and I see an SD card, but I don't see any other video ports. So, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's I'm seeing what appears to be a Type-C on both
sides.
Two
Cs.
Oh, two Cs. Okay,
so you could do both, right?
Yeah.
You could, yeah.
I love that. I think it's good to buy just for that.
I wonder if you could charge from either side.
Man, I just, it's a nice, the Pixel's just a nice computer. It's really it nicely built computer. It's beautiful. I just,
solid.
And, you know, the price drop is nice, but you know what? Get it down to 800 and then talk to me. Like, it just seems like a.
Oh, jeez. I know.
I'm asking a lot. No, it's a beautiful computer, but look at the Wall Street Journal headline. I don't think it's that far off.
Gina Trapani, she doesn't buy retail.
$999 for a laptop that only surfs the web. That's such a lie, first of all. It doesn't just only surf the web.
I don't blame the writer. That's the headline. That's a
headline writer wrote that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's $1,000. Like $1,000 is a place
Phone. What does the iPhone cost you? It's $1,000.
This is the iPhone of Chrome OS machines.
This is the Rain Man of computers.
If you
what does that technology cost you? $1,000.
If you want to buy it, go to store.google.com. It's on sale now in the newly redesigned Google Store. Whoa.
It's pretty, huh?
This is pretty. Right now, Nexus 6, Nexus 9, some Android Wear watches.
Oh,
I thought the Nexus player was gone. Isn't the Nexus player dead yet? Chromecast. Nest Learning Thermostat. And the Chromebook Pixel. All right. So let's see. Shop now. Can you buy it? Can you get it? Did you buy it?
I did. You can buy it, yeah.
I bought it.
$99. So you really only have two choices. Why would you get an LS? I can't think of why.
My background is...
Because I'm that important, Leo. I deserve the best.
Should I buy it? Oh, whoops, I slipped.
Oh, man. Did that happen? Did that just happen?
I slipped. Pay for...
I'm not sure I can read that.
Review your purchase. Oh, I see. It's still... don't show that.
I'm not. I'm off it right now. no chances.
Should I ship it here? Yeah, why not? $1,081.42 with tax.
You're not going to get ludicrous speed?
No.
Sorry, I have to be the voice in your ear.
Ludicrous.
Pushing you to the next level.
Ludicrous speed, Leo. I think it's good that they named it that. Well, it's clearly that's for the Googlers. Yeah. That's what they'll give
people. Deserve it. You are the god of the internet. You deserve all the speed.
Wait, I thought it was
you
president.
You should have
I
a faster internet. And Theo Laporte.
But really, I do question the. But this is just to show you can make a beautiful machine. I think this isn't.
Oh yeah. Well, all they really did was just update. I mean, they did what I kind of wanted. They want a longer battery life. They just updated the innards. That's all.
They did one thing you didn't want, or they didn't do one thing you did want.
I'm really unhappy about this.
What?
No LTE.
At all?
None.
Maybe,
none.
But didn't... Okay, now, but this happened last time, 2 years ago.
No, but I'm pretty sure they announced both at the same time.
Oh,
you just
they
had
did.
To wait
they
for
did.
The LTE.
It was a long wait for the LTE.
It was, and I waited for it, and this time... And it was the LTE they gave out at I.O.
Yep.
But this time, no. I was always unhappy that the LTE only worked with Verizon.
I've been making kind of a point of looking at all the Chromebooks as they come out. And even the low-end Chromebooks now, the new Samsung Chromebook 2, Acer, there are a lot of really nice Chromebooks out there.
There are. There
and
really
they're a
are.
Lot less. I mean, we're talking $300, not...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So people...
So this is kind of ludicrous. And maybe I should, you know... But the problem is I bought the... who was it? Not the... it has HD screen... So the problem is the text was just
the Nexus 6?
No. A Chromebook.
Oh, a Chromebook. Yeah. There was one with a touchscreen, 1080p touchscreen that was almost impossible to use. Because
it's a tiny type. Yeah. I could, you know, my old eyes, I can't do it.
Yeah, no, it's the same. Somebody in the chat room, Scotland calling. No, I'm sorry. Scott in Fort Collins. Chromebook is the answer to a problem that doesn't exist. Is that fair? I don't know if that's fair.
Don't listen to your clock.
I have been
that's
saying
that's an old reference. That's an old reference.
No, it's
reference.
Still in Fort Collins, and we still listen to it. I have been saying for a while that the Chromebook really does make sense in certain environments. In schools, makes a lot of sense. Not a $1,000 one, but it makes a lot of sense.
For our students, the journalism students who need to do video editing, that kind of stuff, no. But my social journalism students, my entrepreneurial students, they could use it.
And maybe a lot of users who call the radio show, for instance, I say, what do you do? Web email, web surfing. That's what they do.
Here's the other one.
Get a Chromebook. It's more secure. You don't have to.
I think a Salesforce could use it.
Yeah.
Right. You go out, you make presentations, you're on the cloud, that's all you're doing. And you know, it'd be absolutely fine for that. And if you're a corporate IT, this is kind of a dream because you just don't have problems with viruses and
Chromebooks
and support junk.
Are for the very young and the very old.
Hey.
I just bought one. Come on, knock it off. I'm supporting you, Jeff.
I've completely come
around since we first started talking about this. And I remember getting in a little tussle with Sundar Pichai, and he really was defending it. This was early on. I said, I don't understand it. And I stand corrected. Sundar, you were right.
Googlers, because we know there are a few of you out there watching. If there's going to be an LTE, blink twice.
Yeah.
Will you?
Tug your ear. Do something.
Yeah, do something for me. Old Jeff here. I've been a friend of the Pixel.
Blink. It's to tide you over.
I was fed by JSON. Anyway, that's exciting. We had reported the rumor. Actually, it wasn't really a rumor. It was confirmed by a Google executive at a meeting. And, in fact, there it is. The new Pixel's here. The new Pixel's here.
The phone book's in. The phone book's in.
It's going to be an expensive couple of months for me. Apple Watch, $17,000.
Which one did you buy? You didn't buy the $17,000 Apple Watch.
No. First of all, you can't buy them until April 10th, but I will be buying one of them. Can you still run Linux? I mean, Crouton is still vital and around and alive. There's somebody in the chat room who says he's a developer. He uses a Chromebook all the time. He uses Linux, Linux editors.
The problem, unless they've changed this, the problem is you needed, at the time, you needed dev mode, so it's flakier.
Right.
And then you couldn't, now you can reverse, but you couldn't reverse at the time.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Once you went ahead, you couldn't go back.
That was a commitment.
Yeah, and so you could rebuild with a stick, with a USB, an image.
Right.
But it was a real pain in the butt.
Chrome Linux, he's in the chat room right now. What is your suggestion for doing that? Is it still Crouton? I guess, it's a little tricky to install, but you did it, right?
Even if I can do it. I went through a few bad detours, but I finally got there, sticking my tongue out the whole time. But if you're a Linux jockey, then you're going to be able to do what I couldn't do.
He uses Krubuntu. He says
Krubuntu
is better than Chrome.
What I don't know is, does that work with the dual boot? It's not really a dual boot. It's because it's the same kernel. You can start up. You can. The great thing is you can flip back and forth with a key. You don't have to boot.
Right.
That's so amazing about it. Yeah. Making me want to do it again. But I don't know what to do with Linux.
You showed me that. I feel like you were in the backseat of the car on the way up to Petaluma on a trip.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
pretty
good. I've gotten you slathering over it a few times.
So the nice thing about Krubuntu is it supports. So the Pixel is an Intel x86. Most of the other Chromebooks are ARM, aren't they? Or many of them. Some are Atom. There's a mix. But the Krubuntu apparently requires Intel.
Is that it? Okay.
So I will look into this because that sounds like what I want to do with my old. I'll do it with the old Pixel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Krubuntu is also dual boot, says Chrome Linux. You repartition your drive, so that would be an argument to getting the ludicrous speed version, just for the
hard
drive.
Yeah, if you're a Googler,
yeah, that's
using it with Linux, then that does make sense.
So you don't have that. RAM. Crouton is the one that lets you do the flip back and forth by pressing a key. You cannot do that. I thought there was a form that would allow you to run a Linux window on top of Chrome OS. That would be my ideal if I had a little bash shell on top of Chrome OS.
Oh, what did I?
Can you do that? Maybe not.
It sounds familiar.
I thought Crouton could do that now. Anyway, I will.
I don't. I mean, it's been a year and a half since I ran it.
Yeah, I'll have to do some research.
The other problem was at the time I couldn't get Netflix on the machine because Netflix wouldn't operate in dev mode because it wasn't secure to Netflix definition.
So that's the big story numero uno. Not much more to say about it except I guess is the question. Does Google continue to make a $1,000 Chromebook when no one else does? It's three times.
Well, I mean, besides Googlers, who's the market for this? And besides Googlers and Leo and Jeff.
Me.
Yeah.
Leo's not really a market. Leo buys everything.
I literally buy everything just because we want to review it. And
Leo is the Mikey of technology.
Well, since Google doesn't, you know, like seed one to me 3 weeks earlier, and I wouldn't want them to because then I would feel obligated. So I
would have reviewed it.
You would have done it.
I buy it anyway. I bought my last one. I buy this one. Yeah.
I did not buy the last one. I should be clear. That was a Google I/O gift.
Yeah, me too. When my wife left her job in San Diego, she handed in her computer and her phone, and I gave her the Pixel, and we got her a Nexus 5, and she's still there.
She loves
it. It's her main computer.
Interesting.
She loves it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Once
I got the printer working, that was the one thing. Once I got cloud print set up. I expected her to, come to me and be like, I need to do this and I can't do it here. It hasn't happened. It's been over a year. And sometimes I see her using her computer and I'm like, oh God, that's such a nice machine.
It is really pretty, isn't it? It's weird that it's 3.2. It's so strange to see a square screen in this day and age. So do you guys still use your Nexus 6s?
Yeah.
I'm 1+1 still.
Yeah, 1+1.
But I'm 6.
Well, you're in luck because apparently this Google wireless carrier that they're about to start, an MVNO that is the weirdest thing of all, may only work with a Nexus 6. We still haven't got confirmation, or have we, that they're going to do this? Wall Street Journal leaked it out.
Pachai teased it at Mobile World Congress.
But
I don't know if we have exact confirmation of all of these details. Yeah, he did say soon.
Like the next few weeks, so we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop on that. That could happen any time now. But the rumor is, first of all, it will be an MVNO, mobile virtual network operator, with using both T-Mobile and Sprint and Wi-Fi, and will seamlessly hand off from one to the other, depending on which connection is better. And it will be much less expensive. I think that's the only reason that Google would want to do that, is because the price would be so much better. But the Wall Street Journal also says it will only work on a Nexus 6. And that, I don't know if that's a technical.
To start.
That might just be to start.
They do say that it's not going to work on older Nexus devices. So if you have a Nexus 5, it wouldn't work with it.
I don't know if that's a technical issue or not, because I had a Republic Wireless Moto. I think it was a Moto G. I can't remember. It was a Moto of some kind from a public wireless that did the handoff from a Sprint to Wi-Fi, and it did it seamlessly. It did it beautifully. I actually tried it when I reviewed it for Before You Buy. I started a call in the house. Actually, what I did is I called my voicemail and started leaving a message in the house, got in the car, drove away, and at no point was there any audible handoff, and I just went from Wi-Fi to Sprint seamlessly and beautifully. So
There's a piece I just put up in the rundown from Kevin Werbach, who's from the Wharton Business School. Kevin's brilliant about this stuff. He worked with the FCC. He knows his stuff really well.
Good.
He argued that this is the Uber of wireless.
Yeah.
That it disintermediates because what it means is now anybody can provide wireless to the thing.
And
you go back and forth.
It's going to help you hit on hot women. No, that's not what he meant.
I really want to retire this like Uber for phrase.
I know. I heard you moan.
I'm so tired of. Okay, but
it'll be something else next month. You know, these things.
This has been the like Uber for though has been around.
This
has been sticky and persistent.
Yeah.
Nothing against Kevin, and I totally get what he's saying here. But
he says he doesn't like it either. Yeah. But having said that, he doesn't.
So he also says that this is one of the reasons they're going to use the Nexus 6 is, I know. Thank you, Jason, for highlighting. I hate the X of Y comparison, writes Werbach, but I can't think of a better way to describe this.
I'm just saying.
I think that's a fine thing to say. It's specifically the Uber 4 because has been. Like Uber 4 is like Uber for weak metaphors. But okay, all right. Or analogies, I guess I should say.
Basically,
Gina, you are the Uber for...
No. I'm the Uber for anti-Uberness.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let me say what he means by this. And I think actually it's Tim O'Reilly who created this metaphor. But he said, Riley said, Uber is an example of the Internet of Things. Cars become the network devices with phones as sensors. This is Tim, classic Tim O'Reilly, because he's able to kind of out of the box kind of think about this stuff. And I think that's a very interesting and apt way to put it. So the idea is industry as a service. So eliminating kind of the friction, the commerce friction, and just having it be kind of, you just press a button, the bill's paid, you know, it's all magical kind of. I think this is great for Google. I think what Google wants to demonstrate is that it's possible to have a good wireless carrier. I wish they had bought that 700 megahertz spectrum. It was very expensive. Yep. Verizon got it. But it would have been great to see Google really go in all in on this. However, in this case, they're going to be able to sit on top of existing networks, get a much better deal. For some reason, I never really understood. Sprint resells its wireless service for much less. You can get Sprint from much less expensively than buying it from Sprint directly. I actually think all the phone companies do this. So, and Werbach labels this as a trial, and that's why it's Nexus 6 only. I don't think there's a technical reason it can't be anybody else. I'm sorry, cool. I'm talking
Sign
a
me
lot.
Up.
I'll shut up. You want it?
I want it. Yep. I mean, my phone won't support it. My current phone won't support it, but I'm in. I'd get the phone that supported it.
Well, especially if it's a lot cheaper. There might be issues, though, because it is Sprint or T-Mobile, neither of which has a great network. I'd love it if they had one of the biggies in there.
I wonder how they fill in each other's, you know, lack of
maybe
coverage, though.
Maybe that's the idea.
Yeah.
And, well, if it's Sprint, can it fail back from 4G to 3G if the 3G is still CDMA?
So that's the other issue. Sprint is a CDMA voice carrier. T-Mobile's GSM. So they must be using voice over LTE for Sprint, which means it's probably all LTE all the time. Well, I don't know about that.
But that's an issue, too.
That's an issue, too, because T-Mobile does not have voice over LTE everywhere.
The other big question is how they price it, because...
Well, it's going to be cheap,
unlimited
I
data.
Think.
If it's unlimited data, too, that's the key.
Oh, Google's got to sell unlimited data, don't they?
And, you know, that could be the thing that makes me leave AT&T, because the only reason I'm still on AT&T is when I whined about no LTE on my Chromebook, Kevin Marks came in and said, you know, you crybaby. Why don't he didn't say that, but I inferred it. Why don't you just tether? And I said, A, because it's a pain in the butt to do that. My current Chromebook just goes online. And B, I'm still on the grandfathered AT&T plan, which doesn't allow tethering.
But Chai said they are not competing on price, though. Hmm. So here's the other interesting thing. This is not, they're not the first company to think of this. Xfinity Comcast has for a while, and it's been getting heat for it, remember, been taking, if you're a customer and you have their Wi-Fi access point, been using some of it for Wi-Fi access everywhere. So everywhere in Petaluma pretty much now I have Wi-Fi because there's so many, it's a Comcast neighborhood, and there's so many Comcast users with Xfinity Wi-Fi access points that I get free Wi-Fi everywhere I roam. And Werbach speculates that maybe Google's thinking about doing a deal to get access to that Wi-Fi. Then it would be cheap, right? Because you'd rarely be using minutes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe put some balloons up. And who knows? Loon would not be a good choice for this. I think latency would make that an unappealing choice.
And actually probably somewhat related, but the latest version of Android 5.1 was pushed out a couple of days ago. And one of the features of that is for Android to recognize whether a Wi-Fi signal actually has internet access or not, and if not, to just bypass it altogether.
Wow.
So it doesn't just connect to it, and then you realize you can't get anything from it. So if you're hopping around all these Wi-Fi networks, that actually makes a lot of sense.
I'm going to repeat, because that's all I do is repeat myself. I'm going to repeat my desire from last week. I want a standard that says, I hereby agree to whatever stupid Wi-Fi rules you have, just go ahead and connect me. Yes, I won't do anything bad on your network. I don't know how I would. Just connect me.
Just get me past the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, sign me in.
Oh.
It's cool.
And it's such a torture.
So in that case, you wouldn't connect to one of these networks that has the sign-in page where you have to agree, and because that is not internet access. That's an intranet access.
And Gina, how often do you run across a network like that? I hardly ever see those networks. So there's got to be something else happening here that we don't realize. I mean, if you are a Comcast or a Cablevision subscriber in my neck of the woods, yes, you can go on, because but you're already authenticated as a customer. Unless, is Google going to do a deal with the cable companies? I can't see that happening because they're competing with them. I don't see that much open Wi-Fi in the world anymore. Remember those days of what do we call it? Spotting. What do we call it when you went driving on the
war
road?
Driving, and said,
Wi-Fi. War driving,
baby.
War driving. Yeah.
wasn't that quaint? Look. There's Wi-Fi here. Isn't that cool? Yeah. You know. The phone book's in.
not anymore. And, in fact, no, somebody's saying anymore. In the chat room that Cablevision sells Wi-Fi only phones in your area.
Yes, they do. Wow. I can't Wi-Fi only. I guess you know what that would work for? Your kid at school.
Maybe. No, because the whole idea, I guess Cablevision is doing the same thing Comcast is doing, which is using a little bit of your, borrowing a cup of access from you so that anybody walking by can use your access point. Is that
yeah,
what
and I
doing?
Also think, I'm not sure that, you know, I see it, I see these connections come up most often when I'm in commercial places. So I think they must put access points around on poles and things too. I don't know. I've been meaning to ask about that. Maybe someone in the chat room can answer it.
Well,
because
that's
it's
where
when
you do
I
it.
Most often see it, it's in commercial spaces.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I'm not in a residential neighborhood where I could be anywhere near somebody's Wi-Fi.
Well, that's what's so weird about signal. Xfinity Wireless. It is. It's most strong in residential neighborhoods. I've been able to literally just walk through small neighborhoods and never leave Wi-Fi. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
That's.
Apparently, Cablevision has deals with Xfinity as well. So, if you, who's the cable provider in Brooklyn? Is it also Cablevision?
Time Warner Cable.
TW.
You didn't say that with joy, Gina.
Actually, there's hope. They own HBO, and they're allowing HBO to go over the top. So maybe Time Warner is forward thinking. Or maybe you'll be Comcast soon.
Don't forget, it's already spun off, Leo.
Yeah. Oh, they spun off HBO?
They spun off Time Warner.
From AOL.
Time Warner Cable from Time Warner.
Oh, it's not part of Time Warner.
Time Warner, as we knew it, has spun off AOL.
I'm so confused.
Time Warner Cable and Time Inc.
Ah.
Spun off.
Ah.
So what you have left in Time Warner, movie studio, HBO, CNN... That kind of stuff.
I think this is a really kind of, it's kind of a guerrilla form of wireless access as these companies beef up their Wi-Fi everywhere. Apparently in Vancouver, one of the chatters is telling us, Shaw, a big cable company there, is building out street-level Wi-Fi throughout the entire region. So it's interesting. As the ambition of these cable companies expands.
What is the security implication of this? Maybe well, this Xfinity, is a little bit of a tangent, but if I see Xfinity Wi-Fi in my Wi-Fi list,
it's automatic.
And it's going to connect to it automatic, like I would say no, because I'm like, well, I don't know who that belongs to. I don't want my phone connecting to a random person's Wi-Fi. What is the security aspect of this when you're connecting to hundreds of Wi-Fi access points while you're roaming around town?
Oh, who cares?
Who cares?
No, all right. That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't even think of that. In order
these are customers that set up the default and just left it open. They didn't add a password on their router.
No. It's not that at all. It's actually done by Comcast.
Okay.
So if you subscribe to Comcast and use their wireless access box, the box they give you, which I don't, it will automatically create this Xfinity Wi-Fi account. Nothing you're doing. You can opt out of it, but it's opt-in. It's not opt-in. It's opt-out. And you're now – but it doesn't go against your bandwidth.
Okay, so it's completely firewalled from your stuff.
They insist it's firewalled from your stuff.
That makes sense. So, so you're not.
It doesn't go against your bandwidth for charging, but what if everybody in the house is watching movies and somebody walks by watching a movie?
Ah, that's a good question. Yeah, you only have so they. I think they say we add more, we give you more capability, we bump you up.
But,
you don't know.
We don't give it to you.
We don't give it to you.
Yeah, we use it for us. Yeah,
the router could certainly do that. I do have to log in. So in order for it to work, the first time I use it, I have to log into my Xfinity account. Okay. But you're right. The phone doesn't really know if it's. It could just be an open access spot.
I mean, what is there? Excuse me, my voice is going.
I think you're right. I think it could happen.
Is there anything stopping just random person from
setting up an Xfinity,
you know, naming it the same thing so that your phone recognizes and it's like, well, I connect to these by default, so I'm going to do it. And then something bad happens. I don't know.
Sorry to rain on the parade.
I guess I'll be forgetting Xfinity Wi-Fi.
It's a good question, though.
Works nicely. And then somebody else is pointing out that Phone, or F-O-N, which was started many years ago, has been doing this for some time. That was the plan. Phone was going to, or Fawn, was going to create a mesh network of Wi-Fi. You would get a Fawn router, and you would then get free access to global Wi-Fi in other locations. And apparently, there are 14 million access points all over the place. This is not well known in the U.S., but I think it is available in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But you got to be, you know, play the odds of being by.
You have to get a Fonera. I want a Fonera. I'm not buying one. I'm just looking. Honest.
Oh, I couldn't help myself. Bye.
I'm just looking.
What's the over-under on how much Leo's going to spend on today's episode of This Week in Google?
I have a budget, you know.
Per episode?
You can tell it's a European country. It's $49.00 USD for the gramophone or the Fonera. Or you have Fonera for business. Let's see more details. So it's a little doohickey. Classic phone sharing features with phone. Is it phone or fawn? It's spelled F-O-N. It's probably phone, isn't it? But that's very confusing because it's a homophone. I'm sorry. The new Fonera is so small it fits into the palm of your hand, but don't let its tiny size fool you. It's 802.11 compatible. Comes with WPA encryption and a powerful antenna. It looks powerful.
So
that's not expensive. It's $50.
No. I mean, it's a Martin Vosovsky started phone, and it's a cause.
Yeah,
trying to get Wi-Fi everywhere.
So he's not trying to make money out of it. It's just
it's a business, but he's also trying to make it, do good.
Well, I live in the country, so I can't really do much good with it. I guess we could put one in the window here. I never see any of these around, so I think it's not widely used. That's neat, though. If it were widely used, I think this would be great. Yeah, part of my pay is in gadgets. That's exactly right. It's actually the reason I got into tech journalism in the first place 30 years ago. It's like
stuff.
I couldn't afford to support my habit, so I had to find a means to do that.
Like, keep the salary. I'll take the gadgets.
It actually kind of happens that way. Lisa will say, you know what? So what else is new? She'll say, your draw this month is all in gadgets. What else is new on this store? It's a new design. It's pretty. But nothing else is different about it?
It seems like Google's really trying to be, retailer.
Right.
Right?
Which is an interesting thing for them. Can't be a big part of their revenue, can it?
It can't be, right? They can't be selling a lot of this stuff, but
they have to make it accessible.
They have to make it accessible, and they've got more and more stuff to sell. I mean, if you go to a Best Buy, you know, the Google section gets bigger, and I mean, this is a good looking site.
To that point, they just opened a Google store in.
I'm so jealous. Why the UK?
In the London Curries.
Why not New York?
So, yeah, that's a strange. Place. Why not New York? Yeah. Google?
Yeah. Hi. Yeah.
Because Best Buy is gone. Circuit City is gone. Actually, Best Buy is not gone. I prematurely killed Best Buy.
Radio Shack is gone.
So this is inside now. So our British listeners will have to help us with this. Dixon's, which is kind of, I'd say like the Walmart of the UK, owns Currys, which is their electronics store, right? And inside the Currys, one Currys only, in London, Google has opened a Google Shop, and it's not big. It's kind of we used to see those in Best Buy's. Apple had an Apple store, and
Well, you have it at Best Buy now. You have huge Samsung, Sony, small Google, big Microsoft. Very common now.
So it's in the Tottenham Court Road Curry's PC world.
I've been in there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it big?
It's a big store.
Yeah.
It's not as big. Like the German electronic ones are much bigger. Saturn, much bigger. But
okay.
And check this out. They launched, Google launched Google Shop at Curry's VR tour for your cardboard.
Nice.
So you can get a walkthrough tour.
You can find out. So it's not, I mean, Google's done this kind of thing. I remember in Terminal 2 at SFO, the Virgin Terminal, there used to be a little Chrome kiosk there. They've done Chrome shops, Android. There's an Android Land shops in Australia. They have done Chrome stores before. In fact, in Curry's.
I've actually argued for some time that they'd be wise to, I mean, in Europe all around, it would have been wise to have had Google retail presences just to make friendlier with the world.
Right.
Oh, you know,
that's what this is, I think.
And play, but don't just play with the hardware, play with Google Maps and understand what it can do. And, you know, go into that geodesic dome we've all been in at I.O.
Listen, this is the description. The shop will host regular classes and events, including tutorials about online security, as well as how to use Google devices. It will also hold virtual space camps to teach children the basics of coding, open house events where teachers can test potential educational tools. You're right. This is a PR effort.
Which they should do more.
Yeah.
By the way, what's the security lesson? Buy a Chromebook?
Maybe second factor authentication on your Google
account. Okay. All right. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
If I were them, I'd put some more information on making and storing secure passwords. And
the other thing stuff they could do. I maybe they think this is cheapening the brand, but I don't think all of us who've ever visited the Google HQ, you know, Valhalla, beg for a walk into the swag store.
To the swag store. I was just going to say that every time, the few times I've been to the campus, same thing. The group I've been in, it's always like, when do we get to go to the store? And the store is just packed full of, you know, stuffed Androids and t-shirts and all kinds of gear. And I mean, it's merch and people love it. I bought stuff there.
People love it.
You know.
And imagine if over Europe you started seeing people walking around with Google t-shirts.
Yeah.
As long as they didn't get hit with eggs.
And maybe it's no accident they're doing this in England, and maybe they will do it in Germany and the rest of Europe. The shop includes a large screen called Portal that will allow users to fly around the world using Google Earth. There'll be a
So they're doing that. Yeah. Right.
There'll be a doodle wall where wannabe budding artists can paint their own Google logo. That's all you can paint, though, is a Google logo. So there it is, see? Well, you can paint within the Google, but and then a Chromecast pod. Where customers can watch Google Play Music, movies, and YouTube.
In Mountain View, they have, from whatever conference they did it for, they have a selfie booth, which is very popular there. Yeah,
we used to call those photo booths.
Yeah, exactly.
A strip of four black and white pictures of you and your honey making funny faces.
But now, the difference is this is an auto awesome photo booth.
Yeah. Nice.
So whatever you do becomes awesome immediately, and then you can share that.
Be awesome. We're watching.
Yeah. Makes you look really good automatically.
And another breaking story. Google's been busy. We have three breaking stories today. Google has launched an interactive events app for Android and the web.
Now, is this the real launch? It got kind of snuck out like yesterday, didn't it? This is the real thing now, huh?
Interactive-events.withgoogle.com/web.
Whoa.
And here's a legal disclaimer, which I have to accept. You know, they didn't have to make this such small type, but I guess if you're doing a legal disclaimer, you should. Why? Nobody wants to read this. Yes, we know you collect information. That's okay. I love you, Google.
Sign in with Facebook, LinkedIn, or GitHub.
Yeah, let me log in. Oh, that's new.
That's interesting.
Or Google, which I'm using. I have no events.
Oh.
What good is this? Oh, so what is this? So if I had an event code, I could put it in here. What does this do?
This was such a promising onboarding, and then it was like nothing.
They onboarded me to nowhere, Nowheresville.
You have nothing, Leo.
Take the last train to Nowheresville. It makes me feel bad about myself.
I have such a boring life, too.
You have no events. You have no life. Can somebody give me an event code, please? Please, sir. Huh?
Events. I don't understand what I mean. Is this like an upcoming kind of thing, or what? Let's see.
I'm going to show you something I really like that I just found out about. Have you heard about Forecast? Forecast.com.
No.
I should have made this my pick of the week, my tool of the week. It's an open source karma-based calendaring solution, the crowdsourced calendar of the internet. So you can add stuff to it in different categories, and then you can vote them up. So the stuff that is voted up is what you see. So here is somebody who, Angelica Kalika, was meerkasting from the NASA test firing of the largest, most powerful booster ever built for NASA this morning. Ryan Hoover was doing Product Hunt Radio with Meerkat founder and others. So these are, and I'll log in, but I guess I'll do that off camera. But it's kind of cool. So you can add an event. It's kind of like Product Hunt for events. And then people vote them up.
It's neat.
Tomorrow is Alfred Hitchcock Day all day. The live stream of the Atlas V rocket launch. Facebook warns that your page likes may decrease substantially tomorrow. Sid Meier's Starships releases. So it's kind of like a geek calendar. And then, of course, Friday, South by Southwest.
South by Southwest. Do we miss that, folks?
Are you guys going?
No.
No.
No. I missed the Southwest by South by Southwest of yesteryear. Aww. Although I joined Twitter at South by Southwest 8 years ago.
Wow. Well, and that's when South by Southwest was very
pioneer
relevant.
Lady.
Yeah.
And even then, I was like, this thing has jumped the shark. So I don't know what that says about me.
It's already big in South by. Forget it.
Forget it.
So 8 years in 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a South by that Twitter kind of launched, meaning that they set up those displays in the hallways with tweets. And I spent the whole conference just sort of like, this Twitter thing is stupid. And then I flew home and joined Twitter like at home. And I think my first tweet was like, I'm home, about to take a nap, you know.
Good night. And now it's your business. So there.
And I know.
Little
I know.
Did you know, 8 years later.
My crystal ball was not working.
Your startup would be all around Twitter.
Yeah.
You'd be a lamprey on the giant eel or whale of Twitter or whatever that is. A dicky bird on the backs, on the shoulders. So
the interactive service is meant for Google's things.
Event
so
is for
I.O.,
Google events.
For example. So you know, every year they release like an I.O. app or something like that. Instead, there's this. You plug in the event code. And then you can do things like, interact with speakers, take notes, participate in Q&A, all that.
So
kind
unless
of
you have a code, it's meaningless.
Yes.
Yeah.
All these things nobody gets invited to. He said bitterly about never going to Zeitgeist.
Oh, I'd love to go to Zeitgeist, but that's for people who advertise on Google.
I know, but they bring in cool people because there's money there. That's what makes it neat. I'm being very whiny today because there's no LTE.
No, LTE, you see what you've done, Google? You've made an enemy. All right, so there's your three big breaking stories, but we still have a Google change log, you know. Since Gina's here, we're going to make her do it.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm going to wing
without
it.
You.
You guys.
Don't
I'm going to do it live.
I don't think we have anybody at South By this year.
Wow.
I think
nobody
is
at
Miriam
all.
Going? Miriam's going probably.
I believe she's there for something, yeah, but I
was
don't know
asked she... to moderate a panel and I said no. There you go. I said, "Nah, I got to do my shows."
Yeah.
Cuz I would have missed the shows next week. Huh?
May I ask you at the height, what did it cost you to do the Mondo great stuff you did?
The Mondo stuff we did like at CES where we had a booth and it's crew, and we brought down 15-20 people. Yeah, we never did South By like that, but we did a live broadcast from South By.
Yeah, we had one year in particular where we had a good presence.
It's in the low six figures.
Oh, yeah.
100,000 plus.
Wow.
Most of that's like flying people there and feeding them and clothing them.
Well, you feed them well, too.
It's like I have a homeless encampment under my back. No, we did. We had that. Remember, we had that lovely dinner at the Brazilian sword meat place. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. If I had Meerkat then, I would have Meerkatted it.
Oh, that's right. There was that one. What was that? Was that the event that you had the camera on your back?
I did.
Backpack camera?
I did. Yeah. So I turned on the live view. That was right before the crowdsource. I turned on the live view, showed them the bill, and was like, and then we went over to Stubbs Barbecue. I walked to Stubbs Barbecue from there. Thank God. Otherwise,
podcasting
I would.
Podcasting along the way.
Podcasting or streaming on the video along the way, and then did the crowd surf. Yeah, those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah.
So there we go. It wasn't just Twitter. So Twitter was 2007, but was it 2008 that Foursquare broke out at South By? By the time I got there, there were there I am, by the way, being lifted.
That was great.
And so the reason you can see me is because I've got a camera on my face that I'm holding on a staff like Gandalf. Aiming,
you got the selfie stick.
And a selfie. It was the original.
You were there before
stick.
Everybody else, Leo.
Wow, look at all that hair.
I had hair, and look at the backpack, which is the streaming unit. It's like a 30-pound backpack.
Yeah.
I feel like Dan Rather at the 1968 Democratic Convention. In fact, you know, or that Doonesbury guy with the satellite dish on his head. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But what we realized quickly was it's just a party.
Yeah.
There's no news.
Yeah.
No.
And
I think Foursquare was 2009.
Was it 2009? Okay, so there was nothing in 2008. Oh, maybe
I feel like there was something in 2008, but
it was Gowalla.
I think it's dead. Friend feed. Yeah.
Gowalla.
Cuz that was an Austin company copying Foursquare. Oh, the day. Those were the days. All right. I think this would be a good time to take a break. Come back and do the change log. What do you say? There's still a
Sounds
ton of
good.
News. We've got the Google's CFO is moving on, wants to spend time climbing mountains with his lovely wife.
As much money as he has, people can just carry him up the mountain.
Did you read Pichette's goodbye letter? Did it make you want to quit? Made me want to quit.
Yes, it did. And you're your own boss.
I can't quit. But it made me want to. I'll read it out loud. We'll do a dramatic reading.
Oh, boy.
And it'll make you all want to quit your jobs and go travel the world. Nest is looking for a head of audio. What could that mean? And Google Compare finally launches. We've heard it was going to, but it's here. There's a lot of new stuff. It's a good week if you're a Google watcher. Oh, and then I want to talk a little bit about GigaOm. I think we have
I want to hear. Yeah. Okay, good.
We have
to. It's good stuff.
But first, let's talk about my mattress. Somebody said, I could tell Twit has jumped the shark. You're doing ads for mattresses now. When you find a great mattress, even geeks have to sleep, my friends. And this is, all of the advertisers we have are tied in some way to the new economy. And that's really, I think, if there's a common thread. They may not be tech companies. Casper isn't exactly a tech company, but it wouldn't exist if the internet didn't exist. Casper is one of those companies that is redefining what commerce looks like. And it's an interesting one. It's a challenging one because people say, well, I need to lie on the bed before I buy the bed. But I got to tell you, 5 minutes on a bed, and I can tell you from personal experience, 5 minutes on a bed in a showroom with a sales girl is looking at you and your wife and waiting for you to do something bad is not a great way to figure out if that mattress is comfortable. We bought a mattress and we didn't like it. It was too firm. Fortunately, we love our Casper. And here's how Casper gets around that showroom problem. You get the mattress, you try the mattress for as long as 100 days, free delivery and painless returns within that 100-day period. So you can literally sleep on it for 3 months and say, yeah, no, it's not right for me. And they'll take it back. They'll come get it and say, thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity to that you gave us a shot. Not returning my Casper. In fact, I've bought more Caspers. Casper's in our guest room. Casper's in my son's dorm room. Well, he's in a house, so not a dorm, but he loves his Casper. Casper mattresses combine latex on top and memory foam on the bottom to give you just the right sink and bounce. They are so comfy. So comfy. And yeah, they come in a box. That was a queen size mattress. Easily fit through the door. Simple to do. I just love it. And that's one of the reasons we got it for my son. He's up three flights. And he couldn't have had a big mattress upstairs. He wanted a king. Mattresses start at $500 for a twin, $950 for a king. That's a lot less than that showroom mattress. But it's a lot more comfortable. It breathes. It's cool. It feels great. They're made in the USA. Even Ozzy the Wonder Dog loves Casper. You will too. In fact, you'll save an additional $50 because you're watching this show if you go to Casper, CASPER.com/twig, TWIG. $50 off any mattress. This is an example of the, this is the Uber of mattresses. an example of how the internet can revolutionize. Well, it's kind of true.
Oh, you have a Casper? I'll come home with you.
Yes, exactly. Make new friends fast.
Yes.
With Casper. That's not how we're selling it, Jeff.
Sorry.
But I think that's probably how my son is selling
it. I think it would be. No, actually, they are. No, actually, on Sirius, on Howard Stern, it is how they sell it.
No.
Oh, well, in a sense, yes.
Well, let me put it this way. Henry's very happy with his new mattress. and I think it's getting a lot of use. But, you know, college kids sleep a lot. Casper.com/twig. Love it. Love it. It was so much fun when we opened the box and the mattress just.
It looks
worth
fun.
Just for that.
I want to get one just to see
it's
it.
It's like, so much fun.
Inflate.
I didn't open the box for a long time because I wanted to make sure we had all the cameras set up so we could. Because I knew it was going to be exciting. And I told Henry, I said, please make a Vine of your mattress unboxing. But he never did. I was disappointed. Anything I tell my son to do.
Darn kids.
Does the opposite. But that's going to change. Casper.com. My daughter's in the Big Apple right now. She went out to visit friends. And
oh, right on.
You know what's neat? I'm getting pictures back. She's got so many friends in New York. It's really the place for people. She's 23. People her age really flock to Manhattan, don't they?
Yeah.
You should do it when you're young. It's a wonderful place to be. Mm-hmm. And so there's tons of friends there. Her uncle James, who's the dean at Yale Drama School, took her to a Broadway show, went backstage. I mean, she's having
a great
time.
Yeah. Oh, right on. I said, glad to hear that.
It's freezing. Why? She says, I know. I got a coat.
Actually, she got pretty good weather this weekend.
She did.
It's kind of the cold.
It's melting, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's melting. It's melting. It's disgusting. But
that's
it's
the
melting.
Worst time. What am I going to say? All right. Let's, can we dust off the change log?
Yeah, let's do it.
Theme.
The Google Change Log.
Time for the latest, the new stuff from Google. Here's Gina Trapani.
Got to shake off my ring rust here. Okay, what do we got? Thank you to Jason for putting this together. I've been so out of touch with iOS, I had no idea there was not a native Google Calendar app.
Could you believe that?
iOS. I just, it's been a while.
Shocking.
But that wrong has been righted. Google launched Google Calendar for iPhone, a native app on iOS. And this, of course, you used to be able to get Google Calendar because I knew I had my Google Calendar on iOS when I was using it. But it used to be available only via Google Sync. This is the full tilt Android experience Google Calendar app. It's got Google. It's got events from Gmail support, which automatically converts emails into calendar events that have places and times and dates. Assists that make suggestions for things like places and contacts, and a schedule view that we. I say we all. I'm sure that not everyone that listens to the show is on Android, but it really really nice experience. Has all the sort of up to date newest calendar stuff. So that's available in the App Store now.
And it has a widget. Or whatever Apple calls them. It has an item for the notification.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, what does Apple call those rich notification thingers? Are they widgets? They're calling them widgets, right? Doohickeys? Jimmy Jams? I don't know. But that's good. That's
you know what
good.
They so call it on the watch? A complication.
a what? A complication?
On the Apple Watch, when you have a watch face, but you can add like weather and it's called a complication.
That is...
It's interesting.
Funny? I mean, is it a joke?
No, I think it's it might be a horological term. They're using a lot of watch terms in this thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A complication. That's what I want. I want more complications.
Don't you? Yeah. By the way, you can't get the Google Calendar for iOS right now because the App Store has been down all day.
Oh, really?
All their services have been down, up and down, and it's been a mess. And I haven't checked lately, but the Apple has, like Google does, the status thing. And it hasn't been indicating any problems. Maybe it is now. But, they've been having all sorts of problems.
Even the status is down. That's not a good sign.
Well, let me see. Let's look. Apple support system status. Yeah, see all that green? Oh, well, no, the App Store is down. iTunes Store is down. Mac App Store is down. So it does show.
Oh, I feel for those
multiple
engineers.
Store services. All users are affected. It's been going on since 6 this morning.
Ah, that's a long time.
That's a long time. It's the stores. So I'm not sure what that's all about.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Apple engineers. When the App Store comes back, you can get the Google Calendar on it.
Good luck.
Good luck. Android 5.1. We talked about this at length, actually, last night at,
I want to hear about Android. I missed that
part. Yeah. Google announced Android 5.1. This is a minor update to point release to Lollipop. Is rolling out to Nexus devices now. It's been posted to the Android open source project, which means that people who flash, it's available to flashing parties everywhere. And the new features are pretty good. Multi-SIM card support. Device protection for lost or stolen devices. Now, of course, Android had this before, but this is a new way to do it. It requires Google sign-in. So you lose your device, you sign into Google to unlock it, but it works even after someone has reboot and factory reset the device, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And
take
HD
that,
voice.
You thugs, you criminals.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, just try to wipe my phone. Just try and wipe it.
Places where kill switches like that have been implemented show really good results, right? Even, like, I think I saw some Manhattan statistics for iPhones, and it really drops the number of thefts. And so that's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And then HD voice calling for compatible devices and carrier. So I think you both would have to have a Nexus 6 on the right carriers in order to enjoy this HD voice calling. But it's there. And then there's just a bunch of little, just minor, lots of icons got animated. There's some volume settings updates. I mean, this was kind of just a, you know, polish and, you know, minor update that kind of, I think, make the whole Lollipop experience better. I, of course, don't have Lollipop in my OnePlus One yet. And no one on All But Android last night had gotten 5.1 yet over the air. So that should be.
I just
be
checked my 6. No.
Yeah. Let me run and get my Nexus 7 while you keep talking and I'll.
Okay. Jason, have you seen it on your phone?
No, I keep checking, which, you know, we already know really does not a lot of good.
Right.
As I said last night, I was tempted to flash it, but I knew once I did that, I would then be authorizing another device on my Google Play Music All Access account. And because Google's so limiting on that now, I didn't want to run up against the limits. So I decided not to do that because those authorizations are precious to me at the moment.
right. And then finally, Google released a standalone PDF viewer for folks who aren't using Google Drive. It's released standalone to the Play Store. That makes it easier to open PDFs. So you've probably got a few different options. We tried it last night on the show, and it's like, you know, QuickOffice, PDF viewer, and then the Drive viewer. But I think this is targeted toward Android for work folks, but it's open and available to everyone in the Play Store now.
It's for years, especially on Windows, viewing PDFs has meant downloading an additional program, in the case of Adobe Reader, program full of bugs and holes. It was such a blessing that Google Drive just, we can read it now.
Yeah, it should be treated like a text file. It should be a system utility. A PDF at this point is such a ubiquitous format.
Apple does it that way. They offer, they come with a program called Preview.
Preview, right.
But Google had to do it for Chrome OS, I think. You know, that was a necessary, what a great feature. So let's see, about tablet. This is my Nexus 7, which is currently running, I think, 5.02. Gosh, don't you hate that? Let me check again.
It's not. You lie.
My system is not up to date.
It's lying.
Saw the Google change log. No. Well, yeah, it's not available in the 7 either. So.
It's on its way. Sometimes. The next time you see that little robot, you'll know. It's 5.1.
And I should just show you one more thing.
Go ahead.
Leo has now written his first Android application. it's very stupid and simple because it's the App Inventor, though. But, I wanted a little countdown timer for the radio show. And so App Inventor made the hardest thing was getting used to the idea of, like, I couldn't do a case statement. I had to do multiple if-then-elses, things like that, you know. Real programmers will go, this is, you're fighting App Inventor. But for a non-programmer, it's great. You can actually make an APK. You can give to people. I just downloaded the APK, put it on my Google Drive, and I can put it on any Android device. And it's a very stupid little simple thing. It just counts down how many seconds left. If we were on the radio show right now, I'd have, you know, like 3 minutes of talking left. Then when it gets down to 2 minutes, it gets yellow. When it gets to 30 seconds, it gets red. When it gets to zero, then it goes to the commercial. It goes blue. It's very simple, but it's really handy. And I used it this weekend. So that's the app inventor from, it was from Google. It's from MIT now. If you search for App Inventor 2, it's very easy to write and create new new APKs that you can install on yours or anybody's. You have to be able to install third-party APKs, but that's easy to do. Somebody says this is counting down the number of viewers. I hope not.
No.
Come back.
Can you go the other way? Come back, viewers. Enough about Leo's stupid app. And that is the Google Change Log. Bum, 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 bum. It's so nice to have Gina here.
Oh, it's good to hear those. Good to
You're
hear
the greatest.
Bumpers.
Everything going well for you?
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. Now that spring is starting to happen, I'm feeling a little bit more human and a little less like, what did I do?
The reason for winter, you can't enjoy anything unless you know suffering. It's so that you can enjoy spring.
I was discussing this at length with a friend. Like, is spring better because we earned it? You know what I mean? Like, is
yes.
that? I think so. I think so. This is what I'm telling myself, anyway.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Spring is coming. March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb.
That's what they say.
Have you heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's take a break. Lots more to talk about. Our show today brought to you by HipChat.com. This is I'm on HipChat all the time on my Android device, on my iPhone, on my desktop. There's a web app for Linux. There may be a dedicated app for Linux. What is HipChat? Well, it's designed for teams to keep them on the same page. It's like Instant Messenger, so you'll immediately be able to use it and understand what HipChat is. But it adds video chat, document sharing, screen sharing, code sharing. It's really great for a lot of developers use HipChat. We're using it with our development team in Austin that's doing the new website. And it's just, it's like having a permanent record of everything that went on. It's real time, so it's not asynchronous like email. It's SSL, so it's fully encrypted. It integrates with 57 other services that developers like GitHub and Jira and Zendesk. So you're really very productive with HipChat. It's easy to set up, fun to use, and I'm telling you, by the way, fun is part of this. They have emojis, and there's a little plugin called Linky that when you paste a link in, it does a little preview of the page and the HipChat thing. Just little things like that make it really a pleasure to use. We liked it so much, using it with Four Kitchens, we started to use it with our engineering team and our sales team. I just love it. HipChat. So here's the deal. It's free. You know, there's a freemium version anyway that you can use free forever. But there's also a full version, and you're going to get that for the next 30 days if you go to hipchat.com/twig. That includes additional features like video and screen sharing. Hipchat.com/twig. No credit card needed. Just sign up, click on start chatting, and invite your team members, and you'll have it free for 30 days. Actually, for the first 100 people who respond right now, you'll have it free for 90 days. So don't wait. Do it right now before the other guy gets to it. 3 months free for you and your team of the full HipChat at hipchat.com/twig. hipchat.com/twig. We're a HipChat house. I think I could say that now. I have at home, my HipChat's always running. We scrum every day. We have the HipChat going. I feel so agile. It's kind of fun. You know what's fun?
Like a mountain goat. You're agile.
I'm
like
agile.
A mountain goat.
I'm climbing the hill. Have you done like full-on agile development, Gina?
I have not. I definitely have used, you know, parts of it. I'm a cafeteria agile practitioner, I guess you could say.
Like you're a cafeteria Catholic. I understand.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
and I think for most people, that's the right way to go. But if you have a big, complicated project with a lot of moving parts and a lot of moving people, and this is a perfect example where you have various stakeholders and, you know, lots of different developers. There's a developer for Drupal. Actually, there's several. There's developer for Node.js. There's developers for the Dust templates. There's a designer. The only way to do that, I think, is with some real structure. And Agile's very interesting, very process heavy, but I found it to be really fun. We're having good. It's really interesting, and I think we're getting a much now that the bridge is almost built. I feel like, wow, this has really worked. At first, it's like very process heavy, and you go, nothing's happening.
Yeah, like we're spending a bunch of time, yeah, deciding how we're going to do things.
It's
yeah.
like designing programs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to spend time writing tests, writing a design, writing a spec. You want to get in there and code.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the hard part is the front upfront work, but it makes a big difference.
It's true. Yeah, you should write. I hope you'll write up or do a show.
I will.
Or you know, maybe on an Inside Twit. I would love to hear about your impressions. Because is this your first time full on Agile experience?
Oh, yeah. We did a little scrumming with Lullabot, but it was really, like you say, just a little here and there. They may have been fully Agile internally, but we weren't exposed to it. And this time we're fully exposed to it. You know, and it's really good. It's really interesting. I understand why. It's a way of managing complexity, and software is so complex. You really need this,
yeah. Especially when you're plugging together different things the way that you are. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what we're doing is insane.
I can't wait to see it. I cannot.
I should bring you in a little bit and bring you into some of our meetings and show you. We'll be doing a beta, so there's going to be three phases of development, but we're going to be doing a private beta soon. And when we do that, we'll certainly invite you guys, all the hosts. And those of you in chat will probably be part of it as well. I want the users to get a chance to bang on it a little bit.
Great. Can't wait.
Go public. Yeah. Yeah.
But you
all the programmers understand that. Huh?
Do you feel pregnant?
Yeah. I feel like I'm in week 38.
Oh, it's like there's such delicious agony when you're building something. I'm in this space right now where like you're building something, you're really excited about it, you know exactly what has to be done, it's not quite done yet, you can't wait to show people. And then there's the postpartum after it launches and all you have is a list of bugs, so get ready for that.
Really looks pretty though. Oh, and I know we're gonna have, but you know, I think in a way though, this process, this agile process, does make the bug you're really squashing as you go, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good way to do it. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. The new Android Wear Street Art Pack is out. Thank you, Scooter X in the chat room. I don't even know what I'm going to look at here. You got it?
Yeah, I just got it. It's just a bunch
funky watch faces.
Exactly, street art. And
this is from Google Education, of all people.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So this is one of the nice things about Android Wear, and I think now all the attention is shifting to Apple's watch. It's going to be interesting to see how Android responds. You know, we've heard some people say, oh, they should make it compatible with iOS. But one of the things the Apple Watch does not offer is third-party faces. You have to use Apple's faces, and there are only half a dozen of them. Of course. So third-party face space is huge in Android Wear, but Google's also doing new faces all the time. So is Motorola. Is there more than one, or is this?
There is. I haven't played around with it too much.
How does
this
even show the time? Well, I'll install it and we'll find out.
Yeah.
You have to install it as with all Android Wear faces on a phone first, and then it communicates at some point to the watch. So I'll install it on my phone.
I will say the flat tire of the Moto 360 is not doing it any favors. You can only see the top half of the number 6 at the bottom.
What do you think? How hard would it be to make Android Wear work with iOS? Apple works with both. You won't have the full set of...
Yeah, I know that somebody's got it working. I've seen at least a proof of concept
of it. Would it be Apple? Could Apple get in the way of that? I guess they could. They could not approve Android Wear support and apps. Well, I'll be getting a Watch 2, of course, an Apple Watch 2. I'm not going to get the gold one. Don't even think about it. That's for Kanye and company.
So really quickly, are you filled with desire for this watch?
Well,
how are you feeling about it?
I'm filled with desire for everything. I'm a walking bag of desire.
Okay. Well, as we all are.
Walking sack of techno lust.
A new garage door opener and he's happy.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but then I'm only happy for 5 minutes. And then it's like, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, I'm based
on the announcement. Were you excited about the announcement? Did you feel like, this is something I can't wait? You're switching iOS and you're going to go full tilt and just and watch it up.
Well, we knew everything about the watch already except price and availability. There was nothing new to say about the watch, really, pretty much. What we didn't know at all about was the new MacBook. And I'm actually really excited about that. It's £2. it's only about twice as thick as a an iPhone. I mean, it's like half an inch thick. Type-C connector only. Not even
and just one?
Just one.
That's really irritating.
Well, their claim is you're gonna get 9 hours battery life. And Apple, by the way, unlike a lot of people, including I think Google, is when they say 9 hours, you really will get 9 hours. A lot of times companies say 9 hours and you get 5.5 or 6. Because they say, well, your mileage may vary, but Apple really tries hard to give you accurate numbers. So the idea is how many hours a day do you think you use your Chromebook?
Me?
Yeah. Without being plugged in.
Without being plugged in?
Yeah. Not 9 hours.
Two.
Yeah. So the idea is you've got that Type-C connector for all the other times that you're not charging. And then the theory is you'll do with your MacBook what you do with your phone and your watch now. You just plug it all in at night, wake up the next morning, and you got a whole day's left.
What's very interested. What's the Type-C USB extender situation?
They have a $79, of course, connector you plug into it that gives you a standard USB, that gives you a power Type-C connector, and gives you video, full HDMI video out. So
if I wanted to do this, if I bought that machine, which I'm not going to, and I wanted to do this show.
Oh, God. Let's see. If you got the connector, because you need the camera, right? And you need power. Well, you could do it, yeah. And you need a USB hub because you'd need.
You need a hub. And
two
I couldn't do
USBs, one for the mic and one for the camera.
And I couldn't do a monitor.
Right. There's an Asus that's very similar. Came out 6 months ago. Almost as thin, 2.6 pounds, not quite as light, has all the ports. But there's a problem. You have to use Windows. And
Windows. Yeah. So this is what happens to the Air brand. Isn't this smaller than an Air?
It is. And it makes the Air brand kind of confusing because this is...
A MacBook, period. It's not a Pro, it's not an Air. Yeah. Just a MacBook. Oh, that's interesting.
I'm thinking... that what they'll do is eventually phase out the Air. They're going to keep the Pro. They need to have MacBooks that have all the connectors and everything. But I'm thinking if what you want is thin and light, this is what you want.
Does the Pro still have a drive?
Oh, yeah. Pro has. Well, there is one. No. An optical drive? There is one MacBook with an optical drive. It's not a Pro. It's just a weird one.
Okay.
I don't know how long that will last. So... I like thin and light, but then I also like Chromebooks, so I'm kind of crazy. Let's see. So the CFO of Google, he's only been there 6 years. You think though, in 6 years, you can make enough money that you'll never have to work again? Patrick Pichette, Google's chief financial officer, apparently very well liked. He's the guy who's been handling the analyst calls since Larry Page's voice problems. Is leaving, and he wrote I think Larry Page said interesting a goodbye letter. It starts pretty traditionally. After nearly 7 years as a CFO, I'll be retiring from Google to spend more time with my family. And he says, yeah, I know you've heard that line before. So he talks about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro with his wife Tamar, and they enjoy the view, and their kids have grown and out of the house. And Tamar out of the blue says, hey, why don't we just keep on going? Let's explore Africa, then go to India, then the Great Barrier Reef, then Antarctica. And he says, I remember telling Tamar a typical prudent CFO type response. I would love to keep going, but we have to go back. It's not time yet. So she says, great question, Tamar. Reminds me a little bit of House of Cards. Claire Underwood saying to Francis, so when is it going to be time? Our time, my time. In this case, Pichette said, yeah, okay, I quit. So he's going to phase out slowly. He says, I want to wait until we find a googly replacement. He literally used that word, a new googly CFO, and help him or her through an orderly transition, which will take some time. And then I'm off. He's 52, but obviously made enough money in 7 years at Google, too.
Good for him.
Yeah, right on. It makes me want to quit. When is it my time?
Man, all this stuff about his kid, this is just killing me.
I know. You're reading it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
oh, that is
because you're there right now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We're in the thick of the Cheerio encrusted minivans.
Is that a great line?
We're in the thick of it. We are in the thick of it. You know, and it's so funny because I hear people with older kids, you know, talk about with such nostalgia and like, you know, baby was up with an ear infection all night. Like I was exhausted. I mean, and of course, like I love her and, you know, and she depends on me, but it's a weird thing, you know, when you look back at that young time and think of it so fondly.
I would do it again in a heartbeat.
It feels like such a grind right now. Right. That's what everyone says. Yeah. They need you in a way that they don't ever need you. Anyway, I didn't mean to go all like.
No, I'm with you. In fact, Jeff and I both, I'm sure, have that experience of if we could go back, maybe not the first 2 years.
Yeah, when they
get them out of diapers. If we could go
when
back.
When they can talk, too.
Yeah, when they can talk. Once they're 3 or 4, you're just entering the best time. You're just getting out of the worst time, Gina.
Yeah.
But I would go back and do that in a heartbeat. But I think also, Jeff. Humans have a short memory for pain.
Yes.
This is why women have second children.
Right. You would never have another child otherwise.
Yes. But wow. Yeah. This is quite a letter.
Isn't it what all the grown ups tell you though, Gina? Is enjoy this, Gina. You're never. It's the best time.
It is. That's what everyone says, and I try to, but it's
hard.
It's tough. It's tough.
Hard. I didn't feel that way when I was in the middle of it either. It's like, can I get out of here? When do I get to go to work?
There are some days when it's like, if I could just make it till bedtime,
When do they sleep? When do they sleep?
Then maybe we could watch an episode of House of Cards and I'll fall asleep in the middle of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. No spoilers.
Yeah, sorry.
Finished season 3.
Yeah.
Have you finished it, Jeff?
I haven't started. I kind of started, but
getting some bad reviews. It's very different.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's all I'm gonna say. Have you watched any of it, Gina?
Yeah, we're a few in, maybe four in.
It's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, not so much in a good way.
Francis is kind of a wimp.
Well, yeah. I don't think this is a spoiler.
But if you don't like spoilers, put your fingers in your ear. I don't think this is a spoiler. But in the last episode, he yells and he loses his accent. And I can't figure out if that's because Kevin Spacey can't talk like this when he's yelling. Or if they're telegraphing something that we're going to learn about in season 4. It's very strange.
Mm. Give me a hand sign. Is it over yet?
So what he said was...
I'm actually very curious what you'll say about it, Jeff, when the time comes.
I should have downloaded it on my Nexus 7 so I could watch that on the plane.
Oh, do it now.
But I already paid for... No, I'm sorry, I can't. You can't download it.
You know what's so weird about House of Cards, and I can't figure this out, is that some of the... There are definitely some high-profile product placements for Windows phones in it. Like, very high-profile. But there's also iPhones and Macs, and it's a very strange thing. They didn't get an exclusive on it.
I actually think they do a nice job. I like the way they display text message conversations.
I think that's always interesting to me.
Oh, it is Windows Phone style. Okay, so it's funny because I thought, they just picked a generic style for Windows. Yeah. Okay,
so clearly Microsoft gave them some money.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough money for an exclusive. I guess that's the that's the bottom line. There's Windows Phone sounds in it. There's clear shots of screens. Interesting. Yeah. I was a little disappointed, I confess. Not horribly so, but it's just different. It's different. I'm going to have to defer to Gina on this. We wouldn't even have this story in the rundown if you weren't here, Gina. Microsoft and Google collaborate on Angular 2 framework TypeScript language. What does that mean? What is Angular 2?
So
it's a web JavaScript framework.
JavaScript framework, yeah, pretty popular, pretty well known. I think at some point somebody threw an Angular T-shirt at me at Google I/O at some point.
I'm looking at it. It looks,
I think it's great.
You know, yeah.
Listen, the more collaboration,
I agree.
That's the better. That's great. You know, Microsoft makes a browser. Google makes a browser. I think collaboration is a good thing.
Is Microsoft's kind of, it's not a framework. It's a extension of JavaScript, which I presume compiles into a JavaScript. Angular 2 will be written in TypeScript and I presume at some point compile into plain old JavaScript.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's going to be written in TypeScript.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have friends who work in the Microsoft stack. Absolutely love TypeScript.
Okay.
So.
But then there's Dart. It's so confusing.
So many frameworks out there. It's really.
Yeah. What is a framework? Is it? It's not a language.
No, it's written in a language. It's basically libraries that you can use to do very common actions without having to write all the code yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And different frameworks have taken different approaches and are better in different situations. But yeah, I guess that's the simplest way to explain it.
Right. Ruby on Rails is a framework.
Mm-hmm. That's written in Ruby.
Django is a Python framework.
It's a Python framework, yep. This is a JavaScript framework.
Okay. JavaScript is probably a great language to know. I mean, it seems like so much is done in JavaScript.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy. Well, because now JavaScript, especially with things like Node, runs server-side as well as client-side. Right. So it's really JavaScript and JSON has really become the language of the web.
Right. Google has launched, we'd heard rumors that they were going to launch an insurance agency. In fact, what it looks like is Google Compare for auto insurance. So this is from Search Engine Land. They with the tool, which I guess is an app, or is it a is it an app or a website? I guess it's an app. Google delivers 14, this is where you don't want to use it, 14 sponsored listings from insurers with rate quote information. Then you can buy policies online or by calling an agent from your phone.
Is it just auto insurance or?
That's what it says right now. Now, it's only in California, so that may be why you could probably see it, but it wouldn't be any good to you. The program's going to roll out to more states. The reason is insurance is regulated state by state, so you have to go through the regulators in each state.
I should have had this in the change log. It looks like it's a web app.
Yeah,
it does. It's google.com/compare/auto-insurance.
So this has been rumored for a long time. Google, a Google employee got an insurance license. There's been a lot of evidence that this was about to happen. Google will act as a lead generator, more than just ad facilitator, and pricing will be based on a cost per acquisition. So they get a cut, in other words.
So does Google have to go to the insurance business because self-driving cars had better be self-insured?
Well, it's a business. It's a profit center. That's an interesting question.
What I'm saying
is preparatory to autonomous vehicles.
Well, if I don't drive the car, why insure me? Insure that which drives the car and that which is liable.
Right. What are you insuring then? The computer?
Yeah, you're insuring the software. Seriously, right? If there's a bug in the software that kills somebody, am I liable because I'm sitting in the car?
Well, that means, this car insurance has to be changed a little bit. It has to have some sort of, there's already liability protection in your car insurance, but there may have to be some sort of umbrella protection for bad code.
Yeah.
Wow. MetLife and Mercury Insurance, two of the partners who offered quotes. As Google Compare for car insurance rolls out to more states, Google says we'll also be introducing ratings and reviews. That's going to be pretty important. As well as local agent support for providers with agent networks. Insurance panel membership contact form. So, they're looking for more people to join the club. It's a business. Google doesn't sell airplane tickets, but it's interesting. But they kind of, I wonder if they have the same kind of relationship through ITA with airlines. If you book, can you book through Google? No, it sends you to the airline site. But maybe you make a little money on the side. I don't know. Softcard, which was ISIS, poorly named it turned out, which was the carrier's attempt to create a Google-like wallet. Verizon, for instance, offered ISIS/Softcard support. But Google bought Softcard and now is shutting down the apps for Android and Windows Phone. So I don't know what this means. I guess Google Wallet will take over. Google announced a deal with Softcard to pre-install Google Wallet on U.S. carrier devices. I guess I thought they bought Softcard, but whatever. Softcard's killing off the wallets. And all wallets will be terminated.
Yeah, it's like install Google Wallet.
It was joint venture between AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. I remember Verizon blocked Google Wallet on my Verizon phones because they wanted to use their solution. Same idea, tap to pay, all of that stuff. Yeah, I use Wallet now. Softcard pointing users to download Google Wallet, which does not have tap and pay on a Windows phone, just on Android. And there is no issue on iOS because there never was a Softcard app for iOS.
Uh-oh, it's 10 minutes to Twig. Huh? Gotta get ready for Twig.
you have an alarm going off?
Yeah, my alarm just went off, yeah.
Better get ready. All right,
we gotta find a number. Where's a number?
Quickly get a number. Is that when you do that? 10 minutes to 10?
It depends. As I go through, if I find one.
One of the things the Apple Watch does that's really interesting is Wi-Fi. So the Android Wear is Bluetooth. It ties to your phone by Bluetooth, but you get outside of Bluetooth range, it's disconnected, and it no longer has communication with the phone. The Apple Watch will use Wi-Fi. So as long as you're within the Wi-Fi network that your phone is on, at home or at work, the watch will work. You can get 100 feet away in our building. I can go all the way to the other side of the building, and still the watch would still be connected to the phone. Apparently, Android Wear is going to get that, which is, I think, great. But now, that's a software release, but I think the watch would have to have Wi-Fi built in. A source knowledgeable with Android Wear's product roadmaps tells The Verge the next software release will turn on Wi-Fi support, meaning features like notifications and Google Now will work when a Bluetooth connection is unavailable. Most Android Wear watches already have Wi-Fi built in, so it is literally just a firmware upgrade.
What'll happen to the battery life?
Ah, good question. The Moto 360, every firmware update has improved battery life to the point where now it's great.
Once in a while, one day out of 100, it'll suddenly get confused and down, but generally it's very good.
Yeah.
I think this is a huge feature.
It'll be a big deal. Yeah. In my house, my watch loses connection with my phone, which, I leave in the front room and go in the back all the time. And I installed an app that lets me know, that buzzes, when the watch has lost connection with the phone, and it's all the time. So this will be huge.
Yeah, that would irritate the hell out of me.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was one of the first Android Wear apps I ever installed, and I was like, "Oh, this is very useful." And it's terrible. Yeah. It's just like reminding you that it's not working the way it should work.
I love it. I am thrilled that Google is saying, "Okay, we're going head to head with Apple Watch." They're not going to go, "Oh, well, it's over." They're going to try to maintain feature parity.
I want to know is when is the Pixel of watches coming out?
Like a super nice one.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a nice, the LG R is very nice.
There's the other new one.
But there's another new one that came out at MWC.
It's like a $1,000 watch, isn't it? The thing is, who would invest money in something is going to become?
It has no life, shelf life.
No.
That's why the $17,000 Apple Watch is just.
It's absurd.
It's only for people for whom $17,000 is like $20. Here is the Android Wear ad that was released just before Apple's event.
Hi, hi, howdy, howdy, hi, hi. What everyone is mine is, you could call me Multiply. Just so you know, yes, yes, I'm that guy.
Very Sprockets.
This is me on the regular, so you know. Yep, you know that I go. This is me on the regular, so you know.
I have to say, I've loved those Be Together, Not.
Yeah.
It's a great campaign.
Be Together, Not the Same.
Not the Same. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And they're very soft sell because they don't really say anything. But it's Android. You can tell it's Android.
Well, it's the social version of Fake Different.
Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Although I have to say, I was surprised by the number of options that there are going to be for the Apple Watch, because it seems like Apple generally goes with, this is the one true good thing.
Right.
But it seems like the Apple Watch, there's a lot of stylistic and options and price ranges.
And remember that whole thing about fragmentation difference? Mm-hmm. The different Apple Watch sizes have different screen resolutions. So for a programmer, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Just a little different. So I guess we won't hear the word fragmentation from Apple for a while. So Twitter bought Periscope, which is a video streaming service that's going to, I presume, be tied to Twitter. Unfortunately, just in time for South by Southwest, Meerkat launched. Actually, launched it last month. And everybody's using Meerkat now. That's the thing, Meerkat. iOS only, unfortunately, which peeves me no end.
Meerkat is iOS only?
Yeah, I don't know if Periscope will be supporting Android.
They will. The Meerkat team actually got a bunch of their their programmers together over a weekend and created an app for Android that they call an unofficial Meerkat app just for viewing Meerkat videos.
No. I want to stream.
Right. They're working on that, and it'll happen eventually.
So this is not a new category. We've all played with Quik. Remember Quik?
Yeah.
Quik. And Social Cam. No, Quik was bought by who? Bought Quik? Was it Facebook? Somebody bought Quik.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that we're in a new age.
Skype
bought Quik. That's right. And there was Social Cam from Justin.tv. Same idea, but I used both, and I loved the idea. But streaming was really rocky, and it was hard for people to watch. But we've just improved so much our bandwidth and our cameras and our phones and stuff. I did an hour and a half Meerkat yesterday at the end of Mac Break Weekly into lunch. We had 1,000 viewers. It was incredible. And it's friction free because it's Twitter. So you sign up with your Twitter account. It automatically tweets that you've started the stream. People can chat in the stream, but their chat comments go out as Twitter comments as well. It's really interesting. And you know what? It's clear that they're planning that this is going to – they're hoping to be the thing at South By.
God bless them.
So I got a correction from David Schmidt on Twitter that the Huawei. I always do that wrong.
The H is silent.
€349, which right now is going to be the euro, as I'm going to Madrid tonight, is about to hit parity with the dollar.
I know. It's like $1.07.
Yeah.
What? Guess I thought the American century was over. I guess it's not. Friend feed. Officially dead. I loved friend feed.
It was the Uber of social?
It was the Uber of
This is the Uber of shows.
We're the Uber of podcasts.
We totally are.
So Facebook bought friend
show
feed.
Title.
Yeah. And Brett Taylor, who was the creator of FriendFeed, became the CTO of Facebook. And it's been there so long that he's actually, I think he just left Facebook, didn't he?
He left a while ago, didn't he?
Did he? He's doing his own thing. But this is sad. They bought FriendFeed for $50 million. That's nothing. Chicken feed. So I guess they're putting it to bed. The reason no one's using it.
Oh, you know it's still alive?
Huh?
Did you know it was still alive?
No. Well, every once in a while, I'd go to friendfeed.com and I'd see that. But it was a ghost town because the mistake FriendFeed made, from which Google learned, was they allow you to pipe other feeds into FriendFeed, right? In fact, that was the whole kind of the premise of it. So I still have a FriendFeed account and it's still being posted. All this stuff is just being cross-posted from other. So yeah, it's very much alive, but it's nobody's using it.
It reminds me of the great, it was a Nickelodeon game show, and my favorite game category ever was Dead or Canadian.
That's terrible.
It is. But this is kind of the same thing, Friend Feed or Dead.
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea some of these sites are still around.
Yeah. I love Friend Feed. I really thought this
like
was
ICQ.
The thing.
Is ICQ still around?
That was purchased by AOL. I think
AOL
folded into AIM.
I think it might still, it folded in?
Well, I don't know. ICQ. Let's see. Let's surf to ICQ.com. Why, yes, it's still around with video calls, free messages, and low-cost phone calls. But the site is really slow.
Can you imagine the poor schmuck out there?
What?
I'm the product manager for ICQ.
Sorry, any chance I can get to play the sound effect from ICQ?
I think that's a good sound effect for ICQ. That's right. That's what that was?
Yeah, that was the ICQ sound.
Sounded so familiar.
Yeah,
people are looking right now. They're looking at their computer saying, "Wait, I got a message." I forgot all about that. We've been maintaining. This is a FriendFeed's statement to Recode. We've been maintaining the service for the last 5 years, but usage has been declining steadily. The community is now just a fraction of what it once was. Given this, we've decided it's time to start winding things down. Our thanks go out to the FriendFeed community for its many years.
Bye bye. Of support. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. That was an acquihire. Anything else we want to talk about before we take a break and get our tips? Oh, GigaOm.
Oh yeah. So what happened? Seriously, what happened?
No one's talking.
There's an interview here with Matthew Ingram. Actually, I haven't read through it. Somebody in the chat room.
Columbia Journalism Review got it. We got to get Matthew Ingram and Kevin Toothful, both regulars on our show. Mm-hmm. Great writers. Stacey Higginbottom, Janko Reckers. Ohm had left the site a year ago because he wanted to become a venture capitalist. I think he was, still part of the company. In fact, he tweeted yesterday or the day before when the news came out, I just left GigaOhm for the last time, and, my heart is breaking. Ohm has not, I don't think, given any interviews. Were there any indications? So this is Matthew Ingram. Sure. Were there any indications this was going to happen before Monday? No. You were just totally blindsided? Yeah. And I think the majority of staff were as well. We were writing right up to the announcement. Kevin Toffel posted an Apple Watch announcement minutes before the news came out. We did get a new CEO recently, so I think people thought maybe there needed to be some changes, maybe some strategic changes, but there was literally no talk of even layoffs.
But I think when I looked at the About page, I couldn't find the CEO on it.
So what happened? GigaOhm, which is a great tech blog, one that we read religiously, and many of its contributors were regulars on this show and other Twitch shows, had taken, $8 million in venture funding over the last couple of years.
No, that was just last year. I think total of $23 million.
$23 million
total?
Last
year. I think so, yeah.
Holy cow. I think you're right. $8 million last year. But weirdly enough, they say they put a closing announcement on this on the page saying this is it, we're shutting the doors, and they said the creditors own us now, we're done. So it's not a bankruptcy exactly. It's not a chapter. Right. It's just we're going. GigaOhm recently became unable to pay its creditors in full at this time. As a result, the company is working with its creditors that have the rights to all of the company's assets as their collateral. All operations have ceased. We do not know at this time what the lenders intend to do with the assets or if there will be any future operations.
And that was lenders, of course, who were senior. $22.3 million in six rounds, according to
Crunchbase. How do you go through $22.3 million? And they had ads.
Yeah.
Is this bad news?
The last $8 million, February 2014, from Reed Elsevier Ventures, Alloy Ventures, True Ventures, and Shea Ventures.
Wow. They didn't have a lot of ads. They have some ads.
True and Loy were in for a lot of it.
That's a Google ad. These are all Google ads. What does this portend for the future of...
Somebody wanted me to do a story on that. We don't know enough to know anything.
Right.
Danny Sullivan wrote a good piece about how, being the tortoise is a better way to go.
Take VC money. Is one...
It's you're the same way. I think that's one lesson in a media company, unless you have an entirely new model.
We have no creditors.
And no other owners.
So in order for us to go out of business, people would just have to stop watching and advertisers would have to stop buying ads, both of which could happen at any time, but it wouldn't be a sudden thing. It would be a slow degradation. So something this sudden is kind of odd.
It's very odd. That's why I think speculating is pretty meaningless. I mean, it's fine to contrast and look, Danny Sullivan's piece is a good one, saying here's how I'm running this.
Right.
Rafat Ali doesn't believe in taking too much venture money. I think he's right.
So it doesn't mean that for instance, and somebody in the chat room said it, who cares? There's 100 other blogs. People no longer go to a blog and read the stories. They get links from Twitter or other sources.
The difference here is that GigaOhm was making money not just by being a tech blog, but it had its high-end reports. It had events. It was trying to move past just a volume-based.
But that's
media
how
business.
TechCrunch made its money. We're going to do conferences. There's a lot more money in conferences than there is in being a tech blog.
Yeah, you're still dependent upon advertisers, sponsors for it, but it's you're not dependent upon a commodifying business of impressions. The mass business model is dying.
What's unknown now, their big data conference Structure is coming up in a week.
Yeah, I don't even know who the lenders are.
So when you say creditors, they're not talking about their invest. They're not their venture capitalist investors.
No, because your lenders are senior to that.
Okay.
In a bankruptcy.
Oh, in a bankruptcy, yeah.
So that could be rent. That could be servers.
It just could be lines of credit, too.
And but it could be they borrowed.
You got $8 million venture last year, and you have, and you can't pay your creditors?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speculate. Because it's...
Yeah. I mean, this could just be straight up mismanagement. I mean, I hate to say this because we love Gigo Ohm, and we love Ohm, and we love all the writers there, and we love their work, and we've talked about it here, right? But it's possible that this isn't like a sign of what's coming in the future. Exactly. It's possible that this is just straight up mismanagement by the CFO.
I think it has to
whoever.
Be. So there's no conclusion to be drawn. It's not, it doesn't mean that tech blogs aren't going to be lucrative or not even lucrative, so self-supporting or.
Not necessarily. I would love to hear, and who knows?
What gets me is if you go to the about page, business team, no CEO there, all vice presidents and executive editors there.
The CEO disappeared, sort of.
I don't. That's what strikes me as odd here.
Is that he took the money and ran? No.
The board was Reed Elsevier, True, Aloy, Ohm, and Shea Ventures.
Yeah.
So the board was four ventures and the founder.
Well, what's really sad is there are a lot of people that we love out of work all of a sudden without preparation. And if I could hire them, I would, but I don't want to bankrupt my company either. And so on the editorial side, Signe Brewster, Biz Carson, Barb Darrow, Carmel Diamichis, Katie Fehrenbacher. We've had many of these people on. Kevin Fritchard, Derek Harris, Stacey Higginbottom, Matthew Ingram. We love you, Matthew. There's a long list of Yanko Records. Kevin Toffel was just on last week, I think.
Paul Walborski, who was CEO, he stepped down in September 2014.
Right, and they had an interim CEO brought in. But he's not on the business listing.
Something's a little fishy.
I think you're absolutely right. This is not something to extrapolate.
Yeah, good.
Until we know more.
Let's hope not. And Ohm hasn't spoken. No one's spoken really, except Matthew with this one interview with the Columbia Journalism Review.
Ohm just said to Kara Swisher, "Not now, dude."
Right. Kara, of course, reached out and said, "What really was sad was some of the other tech blogs piling on."
Yeah,
that's mean. This is a loss.
Well, you know what? I've seen this happen with other closures. You know, the greatest thing, one thing I think, when Stacey was out on Twitter immediately, just singing the praises of every single staffer and why you should hire them.
Yes.
Which is a generous thing to do.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And these are all very talented folks who I don't think are going to have trouble finding their next thing.
No.
But certainly we should all help them and recommend their work. And we will. And we do.
Yeah. One reason this is so strange, Giga Ohm seemed like it was doing so well. What should the takeaway be for other media outlets? CGAR asks Matthew Ingram. Everyone has their own favorite lesson, Matthew says. Danny Sullivan at Search Engine Land talked about what this says about taking venture capital money when you're a media company, and that's part of the story. Giga Ohm has been VC financed from the beginning. Other media startups were not. And when you take venture capital, they're golden handcuffs in a way. It's a Faustian bargain. You make certain promises about your growth. If that growth doesn't materialize, then VCs lose interest and your company fails. But they didn't say it was the VCs that pulled the plug.
No. I mean, they ran out of money, and obviously the VCs chose not to pour more in. And at $22.3 million, I get that.
Yeah, they ran out of runway.
But the issue here was they ran out of runway.
Yeah.
And so were they at a burn rate of $8 million?
Well, my burn rate is a couple of million. I mean,
but if they went through $8 million in the last year.
That's a lot.
And they had revenue on top of that. That means their burn rate was
higher than that, $10 million or whatever. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Oh, we don't know what their debts were before that. I mean, and the fact that Matthew was totally blindsided, that they didn't do any cutbacks or austerity measures. You know, I mean, generally you see this coming, right? That's why it sounds like just kind of mismanagement. Somebody messed up who handles the money, but it's sad. And before I was a business owner, I would have maybe rolled my eyes and said, "Oh, you know, they took VC and they made the bet." Now, as a business owner, it's like I feel the hurt. I can feel.
You know what it's like.
Tough.
Yeah,
I know. Ugh, it's tough.
Matthew says there are 22 people on the editorial staff, so it's a. You could easily have a multi-million dollar burn rate for that alone.
What's your total staff, Leo?
20.
Yeah.
But we don't lose
money. with their business side and events side and sales side, I don't know what their total was.
Right.
And I would imagine it was north of 30.
And Ohm did post on his blog, but what happened. It was just sad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Well, that's a Debbie Downer.
Nah, you know what? It's what happens. And meanwhile, Vox is going into the entertainment business. So
this is also breaking news. This happened during the show.
Vox is announced this. So Vox, which owns started with SB Nation, right? Am I wrong?
Exactly.
Then
it's
the
a blog
Verge
company.
It's a blog company. Then the Verge. They have a gaming.
They bought Curbed. They bought Curbed and they started Vox as a brand.
And they have Polygon, which is a gaming brand. Mm-hmm. Now they're launching an entertainment division and have signed a deal with WME. Who's that?
Is it an agency?
Is that an agency? Must be. Vox raised, now talking about venture capital, $47 million in venture capital in November. They're going to do TV and film projects. Wow. One of the powerful things about Vox is they hit so many different verticals, said Daniel Porter, head of digital at WME. Is that William Morris? There's a wealth of opportunities.
I think it may be.
To tell stories that hit different audiences. So Vox, which was a sports blog and then a tech blog and then a lifestyle blog and then a gaming blog. They have a food site and a real estate site and a fashion site. Now they're going
to do TV. Like to me. This sounds like Vice.
Does Vice do TV?
Well, yeah, they have the HBO show. Now, they don't do entertainment per se, but it's entertaining. Yeah, the HBO.
Well, maybe they're just going to do YouTube videos. Nowadays, who knows?
Our approach is to become a programming company as much as an editorial company, said the creative director, Chad Mumm.
Good luck, Chad.
Yeah, it's tough.
Good luck.
Leo, when are you starting your new soap opera?
I'm not.
You're not going to meerkat it live?
No. Oh, well, yeah, actually, we kind of had a meerkat soap opera the other day. That was fun. Next time I have a fight with Lisa, I'll meerkat it. How about that?
Yeah, that'll really put you in good graces.
I don't care what you say. I'm meerkatting this. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, yes, I am. I think we get 1,000 views like that.
Oh, yeah. You know what you should do?
What?
I mean, we're ruining it right now, but that should be your April Fool's.
Oh, it would be funny, wouldn't it? It
would be great. Just to convince, oh, Mom and Dad are fighting. No.
Lisa's always said she wanted to do a reality show. She says if people saw our life, they would howl.
She's so high energy. She could do it. You guys could totally do it. With her energy and your willingness to
keep up in public. I'm basically Ozzy Osbourne and she's Sharon. Basically, that's it. Lisa? Where's the remote, Lisa? Let's take a break. Come back with numbers, tools, tips, the works. Our show today brought to you by our good buddies at Shutterstock. You know, at the end of House of Cards, what it says? Footage provided by Shutterstock.com. Even big 4K productions use footage from Shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock, you'll find the perfect range of images or video for your next creative project. It could be for your website, a publication, an advertisement, a hit HBO series. I see it in movies all the time, too. 49 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. They source images from around the world. They put them at your fingertips. Professional photographers, artists, they're all reviewed for content and quality. They add, you know, last time we did the edit, I think it was 250,000 images each week. It's now up to 370,000 new images every week. So there's always something new. And thank goodness they have such a good search engine. It makes it easy to find exactly the image you want. You could choose individual image packs or get a monthly subscription. That's what we do. We have the 25 a day, I think, subscription, which is great for a publication. All of us use it. And it's great. Download any image in any size. You pay only once. It's a really wonderful way to bring life to your project. And their iPad app is awesome. Webby Award winning. Lets you search on the go. You can display images during presentations. You can share light boxes of images. In fact, you do that part for free. Just create a free account, and you'll get to use the search tools. You'll get to use the light boxes to save images for inspiration or to share them with others. Multilingual customer service. They're in more than a dozen countries worldwide. Full-time customer support throughout the week. So create the free account. You don't have to give them a credit card number. You might want to, though, because then you're going to see images and say, I need that. But let me tell you, once you decide you need to purchase, my recommendation is do what we do, get an image subscription package, especially since I can get you 20% off any image subscription package when you use the offer code TWIG315. That's for March 2015. So TWIG315, 20% off. Shutterstock. So yes, even like a 4K TV show will find 4K clips on here, so they don't have to go out and get a helicopter to shoot, you know, a view of the Capitol building. They can just get it from Shutterstock. I know a lot of video production companies do this. Great for your PowerPoint presentations. Great for everything. Shutterstock. Use the offer code TWIG315 for your big deal. 20% off your image subscription package at Shutterstock.com. Jeff's here. I mean, Gina's here. So I guess normally we would do Gina's tool. It could be anything or tip. It could be anything, though. Or it could be a thing. What do you want to do?
I need a drink, so.
Oh, this is some mommy help here. Okay, good. Yeah.
Well, Google added cocktail recipes to their knowledge graph search.
That's so awesome.
If you Google make a Bloody Mary, you will get instructions on how to do so right there in the top box of your Google search results.
Hysterical.
And I was just looking at mojitos. I think it's happy hour here, or just about. So I think it's time.
The sun's gone over the yard arm, as my grandfather used to say.
Yeah, you know, listen, the instructions are, they're general. If you want to get really dive into it, you want to click on one of the results. But it's a nicely formatted knowledge graph card that tells you the ingredients and kind of how to put them together. Oh, are you getting? Oh, so if you have to actually Google make a, so try make a Bloody Mary.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, like that. And
oh, look at that.
There's the box right
there.
It's
only a matter of time before you'll be able to click a link and get the vodka sent right to your house by drone.
Right. Yeah, like right through my webcam. Oh, by drone. That'll be good.
Wow. Bing does that too, says Chris P.
Okay.
There's an actual escalation, a cocktail mixology war going on between Bing and Google.
Google's just catching up to Bing, just chasing those tail lights on the cocktail front.
And P.S. Chubb says, and I think he's right, that Google was asking people to rate and update the recipes. Like, is there a link there that says... got a better idea on how to make an old fashioned? click this link.
Oh, that's, well, it's smart. I mean, we remember the how to eat sushi debacle.
Right.
Where,
right.
Yeah, so you kind of do want people, because these are clearly just algorithmic. They're pulling them from pages. This is right. These aren't editors writing these. How to make an old fashioned? Nice.
Just ask how to make a X.
I wonder what it'll tell me if I say sapphire and tonic. How do you make a sapphire and tonic?
Well, no. It doesn't tell you. No. But if you said gin and tonic, it would tell you.
It would
What's
say
the
gin,
best gin
and tonic.
Gin and tonic. That's what I want to know.
Oh, there we go.
I like it. Ice cubes, add gin and
what
tonic.
What the hell? That's hysterical. That's the simplest recipe I ever saw.
I can make that.
That is a crack up.
I like that the text gets bigger. Yeah. Bigger to fit the box. That's great.
Google's like, you obviously need this larger text if you're Googling how to make
so
a gin and tonic.
And here here's go. A photo.
That cracks me up. Mr. Jeff Jarvis, do you have a pick of the week?
I do indeed. Loon. Google says the balloon that brings internet access can cover a state the size of, well, Rhode Island. Has an 80-kilometer radius. I mean, is it radius or diameter? Oops, I forget. 80-kilometer. Oh, I'm messing this up, aren't I?
How big is a loon balloon?
Diameter. 80-kilometer, 49.7-mile diameter.
No.
That's about the size of Rhode Island.
Oh, I see. The footprint of the
footprint
of the
thing.
Yeah.
So
not the diameter of the balloon. That would be a big balloon.
They've done tests with it at 4G, getting 10 megs. The record setter has been up for 187 days. Google says that's plenty because they want to upgrade the technology all the time. So 3 months is fine. Anywhere from, so the record setter circumnavigated the globe 9 times, enduring temperatures as low as minus 75 to centigrade. Wind speeds as high as 291 kilometers per hour, soaring to a height of 21 kilometers.
Wow.
And drifting over more than a dozen countries across 4 continents. So I just found that interesting.
And that might have something to do with their cellular ambitions as well.
It might well.
Wouldn't it be
if
cool?
All else fails, loon.
And provide like cell service worldwide with balloons. Be kind of interesting, right? How do you make
surprise
gin and juice?
Verizon.
Is that in there?
I just tried how to make $1 million. That didn't do anything.
I did how to make meatballs, and it shows me how to make meatballs.
Oh, you did.
Look.
Wow.
Combine the milk, breadcrumbs, pour the milk over the breadcrumbs, set aside, whisk the egg, combine the egg and ground meat. I don't know what this comes from, thekitchen.com, but that's in the knowledge graph.
How do you get to these?
I search for make meatballs. I don't make milk meatballs myself, but apparently the kitchen
I tried to say make scotch on the rocks. It gave me nothing.
Scotch on the rocks. What is it going to say?
Well, that's why.
Make Negroni. I can't show it on the show. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
One part gin, one part vermouth, Rosso, one part Campari. Garnish. This came up in my mind because Sam Biddle's hysterical but unpublishable article on Gawker. Basically has a pledge that you will never sleep with anybody wearing an Apple Watch. No sex for Apple Watch wearers. And if you haven't read it, it is exactly what you hope Sam Biddle will write, mocking the Apple Watch.
Googling right now.
It's on Gawker. It's very funny.
I say with my Moto 360 on. So
okay,
and
this is another question. What happened to Dan Lyons, who was the editor-in-chief of Gawker for like 3 minutes?
Right.
Then got a book deal. Said, I'll see you later.
Well, you know, he also started some kind of startup thing, right?
So what's the deal? So who's now in charge over there? He took over Valleywag. Not Gawker entirely, but Valleywag. Biddle was the guy at Valleywag. It was quite good. Oh, well.
It was quite something. This is great.
But I can't show it. It would ruin our family-friendly status immediately.
I don't know. I can't keep track of the masthead at Gawker. I don't know who's.
We always talk to Gina about this because Lifehacker, she founded it and it is a Gawker property. So she knows.
Oh, so Max, it looks like Max Reed is the editor-in-chief at the moment.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You think that's a temporary placeholder?
Well, as Paul Ford always says, Max Reed is the eponymous Max Reed. He gets a lot of views, so I can see that he would be.
My tool is something we talked about a few weeks, actually more like a few months ago. I really like it, and I want to give them another plug. They now have a pro version of Known. I set up my self-hosted Known, but if you go to withknown.com, this is Ben Wertmüller and Aaron Joe. What's Aaron's last name? Miller? There, or is it Richie?
These are great guys.
Really great. And this is, it's a blogging tool. The idea is that it's your place on the web. And then when you post, you can cross-post to Facebook and Twitter and now LinkedIn and Foursquare and SoundCloud. They say Google Plus Pages are imminent. And that'll be a feature of the new pro version, $100 a year. And I wanted to support them. I think they're doing such a great job, and I've been running a self-hosted one. But I just moved my known blog, leoville.net, over to their hosted solution.
Oh, cool.
So just a little plug for them. I think they do a great job, and it's so much fun when you make a post. I'll sign in real quickly and show you what it looks like when you make a post, because sign in, please. Mystery guest, sign in, please. Because it's kind of neat. So if I make a new post, I have all of these. I've added all my Twitter accounts, my Facebook pages. If I do a post that is as I just did, a check-in, I can have it go to Foursquare as a check-in on Foursquare. This is kind of nice. So basically the idea is everything you post should start on your own site and then be syndicated or sent elsewhere. If I post a photo, I could put it on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Flickr as well is in there. And they seem to be adding more all the time.
They were going to do a whole education thing, but now they're just doing this platform, which I think is much better, much smarter.
I like it. That's interesting, because I noticed that they still have the Known for Education, but you say this is...
They have it, but I think it's smart to just make it a product and see where it goes, see who uses it.
It's a good platform. Server. I like it. It's kind of like Tumblelog. Or Tumblr, or maybe I miss Posterous. Posterous, the idea of Posterous was you email stuff to your blog, and it then from there can go elsewhere. Posthaven is kind of the haven for posterous users. But this is very slick and elegant, and they keep adding features to it, and I like it. So take a look at it. It's free to use, the basic version, and then they have a pro version, which just came out, withknown.com. And I will continue to post little stuff, because you can do it from your phone, too. They also have a little, they have some little cool little JavaScript things. Like, here's a, see if I can find it. Older. It's a, there's a little, you can use little JavaScript plugins. This one's from the Knight Fellowship or Knight folks, where you can, whoops, you can embed, I know, a wedding picture. You can embed some JavaScript, let's make this bigger, that'll play back audio. So for, you could podcast with this very nicely.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then don't you like the little player in there? So where it says, the music has got a little play button and it just plays. So I might post a little. What you could do, for instance, record something on your computer, post it to Withknown, cross-post it automatically to SoundCloud, and also have this little player right on the Withknown site. Little stuff like that I think is very nicely done. Well, it's been a weird experience to do this in the morning, but, boy, it's great to have Gina here. So nice to have you. Let's
great
go
to,
look.
Great to be here.
Let's go look. Leo Laporte. ThinkUp.com.
Oh, thank you.
I think I probably drove ThinkUp crazy. I'm looking forward to seeing all the stuff I get back from my Meerkat experience yesterday. Got a lot of, a lot of tweets on that one. So these are the insights you get. Oh, there's the new insight. I got a new profile picture. That's nice. New followers. Look at that. That's the Meerkat post. 331 favorites.
Wow, you got tons of replies on that, didn't you?
Yeah, very and that's nice. What's interesting is because all the chat comes in as a reply. So 81 replies.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Actually, no, beating out 143 replies.
You got more favorites,
Oh, I see. 143 replies and 118 retweets. Wow, from one tweet.
Well, that's from the week. That's from the
that's
whole week.
That's the week. Oh, yeah, and then the Meerkat's the just this. I
and
get
the Meerkat's the
139 favorites, 81 retweets, 81 replies. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. And of course, on mine, it points to a tweet a year ago that has the F word in it.
Don't show that one.
Most popular update from 1 year ago. Got the retweets. Got the double the favorites. With that Meerkat one. Snoop Dogg looking good. He's changed his photo from one incomprehensible picture to another. You always want to keep track of those. The Snoop Dogg changes them all the time. This is fun. Facebook and
Twitter
analytics all together in one page.
Instagram
insights.
Forthcoming.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Working on Instagram real close on that.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Go to thinkup.com, see what Gina's up to, and you know what? Get a subscription. I think this is really useful. We love it.
Thank you, Leo. Appreciate
it's
that.
Amen.
It's pretty. It doesn't look like it was written in PHP.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Looks much more modern. Jeff Jarvis is in his soggy office at CUNY, the City University of New York. That's where he teaches journalism. He's also an author, Public Parts, What Would Google Do? Geeks Bearing Gifts, and he's off to Madrid. What for?
Newspaper company.
Fun. Have fun.
Be fun.
I guess because you're on the East Coast, going to Europe for us is such a big deal on the West Coast. But for you, it's just like a commute, right? It's like a hop.
I will take my magic pill, which the only time I ever take magic pills is when I fly, the red eyes.
Yeah.
And I hope sleep tonight, and then I get there tomorrow, and they have me working straight through. And then, of course, it's a dinner meeting, but that doesn't start until 87 in the morning.
UTC. Have a great trip. You'll be back next week, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm back Saturday, so I'll be back.
Okay. All right. And Gina, we'll see you in a month. We'll miss you.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. Yeah. Thanks for having me back. And yeah, you'll see me in a few weeks.
We just love having you on the show. Thanks for being here.
I look forward
to
seeing your
hair growth. Escape.
Yeah, I'll be longer next time.
You'll be longer next time.
We're an excuse to let your wife handle whatever your kid's complaining about. So you got to be here.
That's right. Think of it that way. Need some sleep? Come on, Twig.
Yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, honey, we'll I got to do a podcast.
And this one, say this was a 4-hour one. See, you get a nice little
time. Yeah.
No, don't do that. Hey, we thank you all for being here. We do Twig normally. This is not a normal time for us. We're normally right about now, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC on live.twit.tv. We do like it if you watch live, but you don't have to. On-demand audio and video of all of our shows is available at the website, twit.tv, soon to be new and improved, twit.tv/twig for this show, and also wherever you get your podcasts, or get one of our great apps developed by lovely community members. We don't have anything to do with them, but we appreciate that they did it on every platform, including Roku, Android, Windows Phone, iOS. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twig. Bye-bye.